Alon has been getting on me about getting you on this show for a while.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't take offense. I feel like I get it. You know, I'm happy to be on whatever I'm on, and I honestly have very little background with the Berenstain Bears, so it's good to.
Well, it's good. I threw you in with both feet. Yeah. I was like, here, read one book, and then at the last minute, I was like, you know what? Read another book. I really need you to have context for this. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and if there is one thing I can say with great certainty about the world of the Berenstain Bears, it's that they know how to create characters whose names just hit the target, just nail it. And so in this episode, we are going to meet a character whose name not only fits him to a T, but becomes the source of great ridicule for this character. But not only does this happen in one of the books, this happens in two of the books. That's right, we are covering two books this episode that tell the same basic story, but from two completely different perspectives, serving two completely different just thematic reasons for existing. That's right, we are covering The Berenstain Bears and Too Much Teasing, a first-time book from... when is it from? This book is from 1995, and we are discussing the big chapter book, The Berenstain Bears and The Love Match, from 1998, both books that cover the introduction of the beloved bear character, Milton Chubb, a young man who gets picked on relentlessly by Tootall in both books, but who gets a love interest in only one of the books. I will leave it up to the listeners to figure out whether he gets it in Too Much Teasing or in The Love Match. Now, two books is a lot for me to cover. I can't do it by myself. That's a lie. I've done it many times by myself. But I was like, you know what? I really need someone to come on and help me out with discussing these books. And this is a long way for me to say, I am bringing on, for the first time ever in the history of this show, my co-host from another podcast. You may be familiar with his voice from such podcasts as Sophomore Lit, which is his podcast, or from Click It Cast, a Beverly Cleary podcast, which is the podcast we share in which we discuss books, or Sophomore Lit, he also discusses books. A man who is no stranger to discussing books, and certainly no stranger to discussing books that he may not be that impressed with. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show for the first time, first parentheses, question mark, close parentheses, time, John McCoy. Hello, John.
Hello. Well, thanks. Thanks very much. And why did you do this to me?
I do this every week to myself. Now, John...
Yes.
The Berenstain Bears.
Yes, the Bears. You know, I've said it before to you off mic, so I'll say it to everyone out there. I grew up as a very young kid. I adored the Big Honey Hut. Yeah. I adored the bike lesson. I was born in 68, so I was a little kid right there for the first of the bright and early beginner books,
yeah,
which I think are marvelous books, actually. And I read Bears and the Bears and the Spooky Old Tree to my brother Dan when he was little. He adored that book. I have nothing but good words to say for the beginner books.
Yes.
By the time that the first time books came along, as I have stated elsewhere, I had a problem as a kid with what I perceived as problem books. That is, books that were focused on a problem that a kid might have, and possibly positing some solutions or modeling some behaviors that might allow you to deal with the fact that you have suddenly moved across town, or that you are suddenly eating too much candy, or that you are forgetting your manners. And I never read those books. I kind of turned my nose up to them. And now I don't know whether that is ultimately a loss in my life or not. But I was of course aware that these books were everywhere in the 70s and 80s, and of course they were a source of enormous fun in the early days of the internet, with everybody making their hilarious cover parodies of these books. So I was very well aware of them. I had never known of these chapter books until I heard you discuss them on this this very same podcast. So it's a learning experience all around.
It is a learning experience. What's funny is there's always been a light continuity to the books. As much as Mike Berenstain and Stan Berenstain and Jan even insisted that the Cubs never aged, they were kind of eternal, stuck in this one place. If you read the first time books in order, you realize that characters are introduced, ideas happen. There's a rough continuity. At some point they get a third child, so things happen before other things happen. Lizzie Bruin is introduced in The Trouble with Friends, and then Lizzie Bruin is a character, and then characters pop up and either become recurring or just forgotten about. In the Too Much Teasing, we are introduced to a bear named Milton Chubb, and then in The Love Match, we are also introduced to a bear named Milton Chubb. The chapter books are known for sort of cannibalizing previous stories that had been written and sort of expanded on, but mostly they were stories that were established in the Saturday morning cartoon. This is the first time I'm really aware of a chapter book taking the plot of a first-time book and repurposing it almost whole cloth to tell a somewhat related but in many ways incredibly different story. So if you would be so kind, John, as to kind of give us the rough outline of what happens, what are the common plot points of both of these books?
Well, Too Much Teasing is Too Much Teasing starts, as many of the first time books, with a focus on the core bear family. It focuses on Brother Bear and Sister Bear. Brother Bear seems to enjoy teasing. Sister Bear does not enjoy teasing. We are treated to a lot of these domestic scenes of Brother Bear teasing Sister Bear, until the point at which Brother Bear gets assigned an official capacity by his school. He's going to be not like a hall monitor. He's going to be like a messenger. He's going to be like, I guess, the herald for the principal, the Silver Surfer, as you will.
Yes.
And because of this, the other bears at school start teasing him for being a teacher's pet.
Yes.
We are given several pages of taunting that go nowhere. And then, after all of this, finally we get introduced to Milton.
Now, I'm gonna say right now, yep, that this book, which I've read to my children several times, is the most humiliating book for a parent to read out loud. Because Too Tall and his gang taunt in these rhyming couplets. Like, and we've seen this happen in later books. We've actually seen it happen in some of the chapter books. They believe, like, Too Tall has gotten into his head, the best way to pick on someone is to throw poetry at them. And these are the worst taunts ever to read out loud. The first taunt is, "Brother, brother, teacher's pet. Now he is the principal's pet." Which is horrible. Like, to me, it's embarrassing to say out loud. If I was a bully and I said that out loud, I would be embarrassed for myself.
Yes.
"Brother, brother is so good. He does everything he should. Brother, brother is so sweet. The sweetest cub you'll ever meet." And you kind of get it. You're like, all right, yeah, we get it. Like, this is, and there's like about 100 of them in this book.
Yeah. No, it does go on. And if you read this in ebook form, because of the limitations of the ebook, that basically they have to have one picture per page. It just, I would say, it works out to 56 pages on my device. I would say about 20 of them are Brother Bear getting taunted in one form or another. So Milton shows up as kind of an afterthought almost, and then suddenly it becomes his story.
Yes.
Milton is a large, clumsy, and apparently economically underprivileged child.
Yes.
Who becomes the focus of Tootall's taunts, and we get a few pages of him getting taunted until Brother Bear decides to visit Milton at the farm where he is apparently a hired hand. I mean, yeah. He's like some sort of an itinerant farmer in this story. So
they do a little bit better of explaining all this in the chapter book. But I do want to point out that Brother, when Milton is first introduced, Brother is like, oh, thank God. Like, as soon as he sees Milton, he's like, oh, this hayseed's going to pick up a lot of the slack for me, because there's no way this kid isn't going to be tormented by Tootall and make them forget all about picking on me. And it is true. Like, for a while, Brother's like, whew, like, this kid's going to be an endless source of merriment for these bullies.
So Brother Bear visits Milton at the farm. He's impressed by Milton's hayloft skills, and he's particularly impressed when Milton takes down a pig and gets him into what looks like a full Nelson.
Yes.
Which, first of all, would not work on a pig. They don't really have armpits the way that people do. And also, it worries me because I just don't understand. I know you've brought this up before, but the where we draw the line at intelligent animals and domestic animals, and if these bears are supposed to be human equivalents or not, you know, pigs are much larger than most people think. If you haven't actually spent time on a farm, pigs are pretty big.
Yeah.
And pretty dangerous to get angry with you. I don't like the message that the way to subdue a pig is to physically leap on it and wrestle it to the ground.
Well, the description as well is the pig never had a chance. Milton just sort of fell on him. Yeah, I guess if you do know a thing or two about pigs, this does a lot to inform you of, A, just how heavy Milton actually is. And B, just how actual, because we're sort of given the impression that Milton's a little bit of a milk toast. Milton's kind of fearless. He goes right after that pig.
Right, and this gives Brother Bear the idea of approaching the coach, in his role as herald, but it's his own message, and it's basically that Milton needs to get a place on the team, the wrestling team.
Yes.
And he proceeds to humiliate Tootall and all of his gang members by squashing them each flat.
Yes. We are introduced to Milton's special move in the exchange with the coach, where he says, do you have a favorite hold, Milton? Which is that a thing you ask a wrestler, like a student wrestler? Like, what's your favorite
right.
hold? And Milton says, yes, it's called the pancake. And the pancake is exactly just what he did to the pig. It's you just right. fall on. I don't know if this is a legal move.
No. This is, let me say something right now. I have a child who wrestled in school. For several years, I know a little bit about the regulations around wrestling. Wrestling is a dangerous sport,
yes.
as most contact sports are. There are a lot of regulations in place to try and prevent injury, but every year on the team, someone would break a wrist, someone would, you know, sprain a foot. There is no way that you can throw yourself on an opponent.
Yeah.
You would be, you would not only lose that match, you would be disqualified for the rest of the season.
Well, how would he even do it? Because don't you start in a position? Like, don't you start...
Right. You start in a neutral position,
yeah,
facing each other. You, no, no. It's there's the, now see, I almost forgive this in the first time books, because they are, this is a kind of a sillier, less grounded in verisimilitude book.
Yes.
But when this plot point is brought into the chapter book, which is trying to, you know, it's aiming at some sort of more psychological complexity, it's quite worrisome to me that Stan or Jan thinks that this would be in any way permissible at any school.
Now the chapter book does go out of its way to show the Cubs actually wrestling with different moves as opposed to just being fallen on by a large farmhand.
Right.
Which, bear in mind, is all we know of, all we ever learn about Milton in the first time book is that he is filthy, he's very slow, and he weighs a lot, and he seems to work on Farmer Ben's farm.
Right. Now I want, before we move away from the first time book, I wanted to kind of come back full circle to my earlier point about problem books.
Yeah.
In that these first time books typically are supposed to introduce a problem a child might have,
yes,
and to discuss the ways that one might deal with that problem. I have to say, I would expect a book on teasing to end with the idea that be sensitive to each other's feelings. You know, teasing is something that friends do, but you need to have a certain amount of emotional intelligence about it and realize when you're going too far.
Right.
I did not expect the moral of the story to be when someone teases you mercilessly, humiliate them painfully,
yes,
by physical dominance.
Well, it's that weird, and this happens in a few of these books, where it sets itself up very, very strong. Like, it establishes themes at the very beginning. It spends a while just like, brother and sister agree on a lot of things, and it lists things they agree on. They don't agree on other things, and, you know, it lists a bunch of things they don't agree on. One thing that they don't agree on is teasing. And then, like, you're like, oh, brother teases sister a lot. Papa teases mama, and mama doesn't appreciate that. And you're like, okay. And then, brother's now being teased. I see where this is going. And then it takes this hard left into, like, but one day this hayseed arrived. And he was large and wasn't good at sports. You're like, wait, what? And then it's like, oh, but also he wasn't afraid of wrestling a pig. And you're like, wait, huh? And then it stops being about teasing. Like, it just, I mean, they kind of, at the very end, they're like, yeah, brother and sister still agree on. And I guess the lesson is, like, don't tease, because that kid you're teasing could be violent. Like, he could be more physically aggressive than you think he is. And you're like, all right, I guess that's an important lesson. But, I mean, everyone seems to have come out okay at the end of this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've covered this before, too. But the other thing that I find problematizes this whole thing is, if the point is supposed to be about, of these books, is in some ways to develop empathy or to be able to see a problem from a different point of view, we are nonetheless, Milton is still something of an idiot in this book.
Yes.
and he is a sort of, nothing about this book makes you think that he is anything other than a hayseed,
yeah,
in that really horrible cliche of what the people have of agrarian life.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, Too Tall and his crew are still a bunch of ragamuffins from the 1905 Brooklyn
Right. Well, I think what happened was maybe the Berensteins were like, we really need to make this series even more Steinbeckian than it already was, with like Tutal and his like toughs. So let's really like pull in the Jodes here, because it does say that his parents work for Farmer Ben. They're his new hired hands. And Farmer Ben, I don't know, apparently makes them sleep in the barn. because he's always, Milton is always covered in dirt, and he always has like hay in his hair. And his overalls are patched poorly, and I don't know. They don't paint a really nice picture of Milton in this. He can't play sports very well. He's not very coordinated. You sort of get the idea that he's not even a good wrestler in this book. He just knows how to overpower another cub with his weight. He can, however, aim a cow's udder right into the mouth of a waiting cat.
that's hard to do. I don't know if you've ever milked a cow, but that is a hard thing to do. I do like the last line of this book, where they try to bring it back to they're trying to bring it back into the domestic sphere of the bear family proper, and they end with the line, they agree that it, teasing, is still a part of life, but it really isn't a very good idea. And I don't understand what this means.
Right. No, it's like I said, it loses its thread a little ways through the book. Now, moving on to the chapter book version of the same story, what's different?
Well, I mean, the chapter book is much more Milton's story from page one. I mean, chapter one is named Mass of Milton.
Yeah.
And the instigating moment of this book is when Milton shows up, and when it actually starts with Queenie and her gang teasing Milton.
Yeah.
And then it goes to Tutal teasing them, and then when Brother and Wheels. Now, is that Wheels really a character? Is this something that has occurred before? Because that,
yes, so yes, Harry McGill, known as Wheels, which is, as people have pointed out on the show, not a cool name.
No, not at all.
The kid in the wheelchair, but he picked the nickname in his book. He is the computer expert from Big Bear City who shows up, and he was very angry when he was introduced. He didn't think anyone would be his friend, so he did that thing where like kids kind of like set themselves up to not have friends to avoid disappointment. It's actually a pretty good book about a kid in a wheelchair. But he's a computer expert. He's also really good friends with Tutal because, as we've established, Tutal is one of the best chess players in Bear Country. And so he and Harry McGill play chess together. It's a long story. It kind of comes up in this book, but Harry Wheels McGill, yes, he is an established character.
Right. Now we have Brother, with the best of intentions, is trying to be kind and greet Milton, because he knows that he's going to be getting it hard and fast from Tutal. And then we have like four or five very awkwardly written pages of the same stupid joke of people making Freudian slips where they say, oh, it's very good to see such a big person here, or whatever, or they slip in the words, what was it? They say, thank
fat.
You very large.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as a vaudevillian joke, that sort of works as acted out. It does not work at all written in prose.
Right. That's something that we've actually encountered in these books before, which is, I get what joke they're trying to make, but it's not a printed page kind of gag. That happens with the mayor, who, Mayor Honeypot, he confuses the beginnings and endings of his words. So if he was saying, have a good afternoon, he would say, like, have an afternoon. And you'd be like, oh, which works in the Saturday morning cartoon, because he's constantly, like, mixing his words up. But on the printed page, man, it just goes on. Like, there's a lot of, like, dashes and ellipses as he's trying to, like, correct his speech. So, yeah.
Yeah, these scenes, you know, This is the thing that I find a little bit bewildering as a fan of the picture books, which to me are remarkable in their economy. They constantly follow the here's a spread that sets up the joke, flip the page, here's the joke.
Yeah.
That's the and it's got that constant rhythm going on. And the other thing that I adore by Stan and Jan Berenstain were their gag cartoons that they did for magazines in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
They have to be compact. They're usually one picture and a caption. And here it feels like these scenes just stay in the scene. I don't know. I mean, maybe they just had the eye on how many pages they had to fill, but
well, they definitely had pages to fill. but if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't get the wonderful visual image of Milton leaping over the like pommel horse.
Right.
And landing on Tootall.
Right. Now in the picture where they have all the cubs lined up at the pommel horse.
Yeah.
And also on that image with Tootall, there are a set of rings hanging. But they're not hanging from a frame. So I assume they're hanging from a gymnasium ceiling, which has to be 24 feet or
right.
more. I just, it's little details like this that I keep getting pulled to in these images where I'm like, do they really think that's the way it works?
I don't know. I could write Mike and see. Mike, of course, his attention to detail, he always loved drawing machines and he loves drawing animals. So if this was indeed a Mike illustrated book, he was focusing more on the pommel horse itself than he was on where those rings were attached. But have we been – so we get introduced – they start laying the ground that Milton should be introduced to Bertha.
Yes.
Bertha was introduced in The Female Fullback. She is another very quiet bear. She is another very large bear. And she is another bear who is kind of defined by the fact that she is quiet and large. She's also kind of a moral center of a lot of these books. Bertha won't say much, but then she'll speak up about like social injustice. And no one dares argue with her because she is so large and prone to solving problems with violence. So obviously she should be, you know, like perfectly paired up with Milton.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There was something I wanted to point out, which is at one point, Sister says to the family when they're discussing Milton's plight, they say that his name is Milton Chubb, and she says, which is a real kick. And I was thinking to myself, wait, Sister is suddenly like Betty Draper or something here. This is like, who says this was written in 1998? Who says this? Which was a real kick?
I need to remind you, there is a gang of toughs in this book who are dressed like bullies from the 1930s. One of whom is wearing a hoopie cap. One of whom is wearing a page boy hat. The bear country exists in several decades at once. But yes, Sis says that's a real kick. This is chapter book Sister Bear, not first time book Sister Bear. Chapter book Sister Bear is a little more sassy. She's a lot less of a victim, and she's a little more liable to participate in the teasing as opposed to bearing the brunt of teasing.
Right.
So she thinks that Milton Chubb's name is hilarious. I like brother and sister a lot in the chapter books because they can be jerks. They can they'll feel bad about it, but they'll go right along with the crowd every once in a while. And the cubs don't really know what to do with Milton. He's a wimpy cub. He's big, but he doesn't speak up for himself. And it's Mama who points out that Milton might not be afraid of Tootall. He might just be too shy to do anything.
Yeah, both Mama and Papa or Pa are I guess they call him Papa.
Papa.
Papa. Mama and Papa are very touchy-feely in this chapter. This is the only part where we get here, and it's a little bit alarming to me because I'm used to blowhard Papa from the picture books, and here it seems like they're very concerned with Milton's feelings. Brother Bear discusses how he's going to how it will be better to talk to Milton at the farm because he'll be more comfortable there.
Yes.
I don't know that these are thoughts that kids have.
Right. Well, brother is a very thoughtful cub, almost to a fault. He's known in these books. He tends to think problems through so hard that it's usually when things are coming to a head before he actually takes any action. So this is Brother Bear actually being a very active cub in this book. He usually it would be Sister or one of the other cubs who would get these ideas, and Brother just wouldn't be speaking his mind at all. And then at the last minute, he would pull out his great plan that would save the day. So I'm actually like, go Brother. Like, he's taking charge in this. I do feel like Milton getting picked on in this book, it's kind of like, is it so the idea is that if Milton won't stand up for himself, but he will stand up for Bertha Broom. So if you get Milton together with Bertha, he will finally show Tootall that he's a tough bear. Are they more interested in getting Milton together with Bertha to save him from being picked on? Like, I'm not sure what the chicken and the egg here is.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy machinations here. Brother Bear starts a false rumor that Tootall has a crush, so that Tootall will be confronted by Queenie and get out of the way, so that Milton and Bertha can have a quiet moment together. It seems way too complicated to me, and I just don't understand, you know. It feels very Peyton Place to me, and I just don't buy it. But because
for the listeners, so what happens is they want Milton and Bertha to be able to talk, but they're like, but if Milton and Bertha are seen talking together, Tootall will pick on them. Milton won't be able to talk. So what I'll do is I'll spread a rumor about Tootall or about Queenie, so that Tootall will have So there's a confrontation between Queenie and Tootall, so that Tootall will be distracted while I'm introducing Bertha to Milton. I know that in the end, Tootall is going to find out that this rumor was started by me, which will create its own problems later on, but I'll worry about those problems later on. And he does, like, there becomes this subplot of Brother, like, worrying that Tootall is going to find out that he's the one who started this false rumor. It does seem like a lot of trouble just to get to, like, instead of just saying, like, hey, you two, come around the side of the building and talk, you are introducing a chapter's worth of plot that needs to be resolved by the end.
The other thing that we learn in here is that Bertha is both on the, both Bertha and Tootall are on the football and wrestling teams, which is another thing that would not happen. I mean, they would be, but not concurrently.
Right.
The Berenstains had kids. How do they not know how high school athletics works?
Well, I don't know if they know how high school athletics work, but they seem to know how the legal system works, because a court case gets introduced in this storyline about this time, because Grismire finds out that Bertha's not allowed to be on their wrestling team if she wants to compete, like, with the other schools. So you find out that Bermuda Bear's aunt or whoever is a lawyer who will take up the case of getting Bertha allowed to. So this is all happening, by the way, like, in the background. Like, just know that there's a court case that's being introduced with only weeks to go.
Right. Now, I did hear your earlier episode about Bertha on the football team, and so this is Coach Grismire's attempt to redeem his character. He's coming forth to right the wrongs of the past. I don't understand what this court case actually entails. I don't know who's suing whom or what. If this actually were a case like this, I think that you would contact your local Title IX official and they would come and do an investigation. I don't think they would leap to a lawsuit, but
It also has to happen without Bertha's knowledge,
right?
Like, that's the other thing. Bertha doesn't want to cause any trouble because she hates being the center of attention, so they're like, we'll secretly do this court challenge. And chapter 7 starts off with, and so a court challenge to the wrestling league's no girls rule was set in motion, because we don't know who did it, really. So it's all passive voice. Coach Grismire hoped the friendly relationship between Judge Gavel and Bermuda's sister would lead to an early hearing date in court, which is also like, does it work that way? Like, oh, the judge is friends with the lawyer, so this will go through quickly.
Look, this was 98. So I'm trying to think what the political situation was at that point. I guess maybe you could pull some political strings.
Yeah, this is Clinton's America.
This is Clinton's America. Yeah,
we're all. Who knows? Anything's up for grabs when they're in charge. Well, also, because in the female fullback, the whole book was about them trying to get Bertha onto a team. And it was very much a big deal in Bear Country. Like this social movement was slow and like took a lot of like it was a lot of ins and outs and fighting on both sides. Now it's just like, it's not worth exploring until it needs to come up in the end of the book. We'll just let that sort of play out in the background. They've got 3 weeks. I'm sure it'll be okay.
Yeah.
So what's going on? Like, so there's a lot of
So Milton finds out what's going on, and he says that instead of beating up Brother Bear or even Sister Bear, who wants to interject herself, he's going to just screw things up between Milton and Bertha. So the crew starts in with their taunts, which go much quicker than they do. Strangely enough, for a chapter book, it goes much quicker than it did in the first time book.
But we do get the tease, yes. the poem,
yes.
which is, and I have to point out in the illustration, when it comes to Too Tall and his gang teasing people, the way you do it is you dance and you make your wrists very limp and you kind of prance about with your eyes closed, flapping your hands up and down. That's the way you tease someone. And the chant is Milt is massive, Birth is big, we call them Mr. and Mrs. Pig. There
it's
you go.
It's a better rhyme than the one.
It is. But this is also where, and there is no brother does visit Milton on the farm. It's a much better scene than it is in the storybook. Like it's an actual like scene between him and Milton. Also, no one wrestles a pig in it. Instead, Milton attacks Too Tall and his gang, and that's when you see him do the pancake.
Right, he does it on all four of them at once.
Yeah, yeah. You also get a better sense in the chapter book, just the illustrations of just how big Milton is. He's drawn much larger in the chapter book.
Yeah, it looks like from this picture, he's leapt about 5 or 6 feet yep. onto them, which, again, a very dangerous thing to do.
Yes.
Definitely some broken ribs involved. a good chance with Too Tall's jaw on top of the Mr. Whoopie Cap, that could also break some teeth. There could be a cracked skull.
Yeah, and this is where Coach Grismire, who is also the assistant principal, bear in mind, sees this occur and thinks to himself, what a cub. He seemed so gentle and shy, but when he got riled up, he had the strength of an ox and the temper of a Brahma bull. And that's when he gets a vision of this cub in a wrestling uniform performing his special move, the pancake, on every heavyweight in the league. So this is the assistant principal of the school witnessing something so violent that it knocks out 4 students and being like, all right, I can work with this.
Yeah, he's got quite a grin on his face there.
Yeah. Bear in mind also, Coach Grismire, terrible human being, as has been established.
Right.
But this is kind of where things take a separation from the original book, because Milton starts actually training to be a wrestler.
Right.
In this.
No, he's trained and we're told we get new moves, actual moves along with the pancake. Again, the pancake would not ever be usable in an actual competition.
Right.
Nor would it actually be that effective, to be honest. If you've ever seen wrestlers, it would not be an effective move. But we're given a little training montage here of Milton, and we're told maybe 6 or 7 times he lost a few pounds.
Yes, I keep bringing that up. He's trimming down. Well, what happens is Bertha is the court case. The court case wins. The court does its thing. However, that happens. court was in session. Now it's not. Bermuda's sister wins the case, is how it says. Judge Gavel just struck down the wrestling league's no girls rule. Don't know if it was a law or if that's anything a judge has any right to strike down. We don't know how it works, but Bermuda's sister wins. That's all we know. And Bertha is allowed to wrestle on the team.
Right, but now we're told that there can only be one spot for a heavyweight, which, again, not a thing, but whatever.
How does it actually work?
How does it actually work? It works that you can put several heavyweights on your team. You can put several people of every weight class.
I think you're wrong. I think the heavyweight is the king. The heavyweight of the wrestling is like the leader, the ruler of the wrestlers. That's how this book seems to portray it. If you're the heavyweight, you're like the head honcho. You're at the top of the pyramid, and you cannot have two people at the top. I don't know.
Listeners. Listeners, write Phil. I will be gone, but please write Phil.
Let me know how many heavyweight wrestlers you can have on one high school wrestling team. Bear in mind, late 90s, Clinton's America, it may have been different.
Also in Bear Country.
In any case, everyone decides the best way to decide whether Milton or Bertha competes as the heavyweight is to do the thing that any high schooler would be very comfortable doing with their significant other, which is wrestling them in front of the student body.
Yeah,
we've already established that Milton and Bertha are the shyest cubs at the school. Let's make them roll around on the floor with each other in front of all the students to pin your lover down.
Right.
And the title of this chapter is "Let's Get It On."
Now, do you think? Don't you think that some editor somewhere would have?
Hey, Berenstains, that's the title of a sex song. There's literally a sex song called "Let's Get It On."
Yeah. Well, anyway,
they also use a lot of the word "pin" a lot. Pin is something you do in wrestling, but it's also something you do to your SO. You pin them. You give them your pin, which is also something that hasn't happened in youth culture in about 3 decades at this point. There's literally a song in Bye Bye Birdie about it. Dad explains what it is because your average listeners won't know what it means to get pinned.
Well, you know, to their credit, they say in this match that they have, by the end of the match, the grapplers each had 2 takedowns and 2 escapes. Final score, Broom 4, Chubb 4. So they know something about the rules of wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. But that also has the line, if Milton pins Bertha now, will she let him pin her at the big dance tonight? which when I saw that, I was like, wait, what? And I was so happy that Queenie said, did he buy her a pin already? And I'm like, oh. Because, man, oh, man, that line really made me read it a couple of times. I don't know how courtship works in Bear Country. But as you said, like, the match is a draw.
Right.
They can't. They're just they're equally matched. Fortunately, we've set up that Milton has been losing weight.
Right. This is Chekhov's scale. So Milton has Bertha points out that Milton has reduced himself out of his weight class.
Yes.
He is no longer a heavyweight. No longer does he compete for the heavyweight position. Instead, he's competing for the light heavyweight position, which happens to be Tuttle's position.
Yes, light heavyweight. Is that a position? Let me know. Is it? Like, do you know?
I have never heard of it, but I don't know.
A light heavyweight. What are the weight classes? There's heavyweight. I've only ever hear about heavyweight. Like, is it just heavyweight?
I don't know.
Is there? It's like heavyweight and other. So, heavyweight. He's now a light heavyweight, which means that Too Tall will have to compete against him. But Too Tall bows out. He's allergic to pancakes. Is his reasoning? Doesn't want to get flattened by the boy, and that should be the end. But instead, we have a final chapter with the big dance.
Right, which is called "You Light Up My Life," another song that at this point that song is what, 20 years old by this point?
Oh yeah. It doesn't even feature
into the story, other than we're told that that Bertha and Milton are blushing so much that they are glowing.
This is the craziest thing that's ever... Okay. In a book series in which we have established that witchcraft exists, that nuclear fusion happens by dropping a glass ball on the ground. We have a living god who lives on a mountain in their town, a missing link, talking catfish, a warren of weasels who attempts to, all these like crazy things. The craziest thing that's ever happened in Bear Country is this moment where Sister says, "Hey, what's that strange red light?" A faint red glow had spread through the darkened gym. And Brother's like, "I don't see any red lamps." And Bonnie's all, "It seems to be coming from the dance floor." Soon they saw what it was. And it is Milton and Bertha blushing so hard that it actually creates light in the dance. I don't know why this happens.
I think the next scene should be Milton and Bertha being pulled up into the heavens like right. A car at the end of Repo Man.
Like it should be like at the end of La Belle et la Bête, they shoot off into the sky. So happy are they with one another. She says, "I've heard of folks who light up a room when they come into it, but I always thought it was just an expression." Hey, guess what? It is just an expression. You can't blush so hard that people can see it if they aren't looking at your face. Like, it's not established that this is a thing that happens ever. All of a sudden, Bertha and Milton are glowing so hard. It would need to mean that they are burning up. Because that is what blushing like is, blood rushing to your face. Like they would be so feverish at this point. But that's how it ends. It looked as though that afternoon's final whistle hadn't ended the love match after all. Wow. Two books, The Love Match and The Berenstain Bears and Too Much Teasing, that established the character of Milton Chubb. Massive Milton is his name. Soccer is not his game. Massive Milton, I think they say, is his name. Wrestling is his game. Yay, Milton. The chapter book only gets one poem. But John, if you had to choose, which of these books do you think pulls off the story of Massive Milton more successfully? The Love Match or Too Much Teasing?
The Love Match feels to me more like an actually complete story. Even as crazy as it is, it feels to me like it's one that follows certain narrative rules. Too Much Teasing is so bizarre in the way that it changes what it's about two times in the book. and defeats its own thesis. I suppose I would give Too Much Teasing a slight edge on that because I just am drawn to train wrecks.
Yeah. For me personally, I'm a little more invested in these characters than you are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have to give the edge to the love match. Also, if you have children and you are trying to read to them too much teasing, you will skip those poems because you will not physically be able to say them because it is so humiliating to say Tutal's taunts. He and the gang are the worst bullies in the world. He says his name is Milton Chubb, but we call him Flubadub. is one of his taunts. Milton, watch him go. Watch him dribble off his toe. I wish someone would just tell them you don't have to rhyme in order to be an effective bully. Like, there's so many other ways you can pull it off.
Well, they seem to be performing for someone, and then I want to know who that person is.
Right, no one, because no one's impressed by this.
Now, though, there is one thing I will say about the love match, which is you mentioned the whole strangeness of the pin thing. There is this way in which the attempts to bring these two bears together and their eventual affections is just a little bit ooky to me, and that I find fascinating. I mean, I don't want to give anyone the wrong impression. This is very chaste cub love we're talking about here, but it always feels to me like it's like on the verge of something happening.
Yes,
like the fact that they are glowing red at the end is like that. Maybe it's because, again, I'm very familiar with the Berenstain Bears. The Berenstain's caption cartoons, which were always a little bit blue and a little bit naughty.
Yeah.
And so maybe I've got that going around in the back of my head. Maybe I'm just a bad person.
No.
but I do find that kind of weird and fascinating in this book.
Well, at the end of this book, when Bertha and Milton are hugging on the dance floor, I mean, we are aware at this point, because we saw it happen, that these are two young cubs who are attracted to each other, who have already like rolled around on the floor together. Like, they have a physical relationship. Also, it's not unfair to say that these books do tease around the cubs having physical relationships. I mean, Brothers had his first few kisses. You get the idea that Queenie and Tutal are a more physically involved couple than Brother is with any of his girlfriends. I think that's intentional. I think that the Berenstains, you know, they are aware that the kids who were reading these books, kids who were like 10, 11, 12, are having these feelings and going through this kind of thing. And I think it's not a coincidence that as older readers, we are more aware that these things are being dropped in. Like you said, the Berenstains knew what was going on. They weren't dumb. They'd raised their own children. Like, so it's there. I think that, you know, like, I think it's that it's not, you know, we're not being Weisenheimers for pointing it out. Like, it's there and it's meant to be picked up on.
Yeah.
I do want to say one last thing is that, if I ever got a tattoo of a Berenstain Bear image, it would be the heart drawing. There's a heart that says Milton and Bertha with an arrow through it, surrounded by Berenstain Bear types as little Cupids. That would be my go-to tattoo if I were to ever get one. It's a lovely illustration of Milton and Bertha. John.
Needles scare me, so I wouldn't get a tattoo.
Oh, that's not what I was going to ask. I was going to ask you, where might our listeners be able to find you if they were interested in hearing more of your thoughts on other things?
Well, as you mentioned, I have my podcast, Sophomore Lit, which you've been on in the past,
yes.
Both as a guest and a reader. And you and I have a little thing called Click It Cast, in which we are reading all of Beverly Clary's books, and we have just made it to the middle of the Ramona series.
Yes, we are. We just, actually, before this, we recorded Ramona and her father. So if you enjoy hearing, I say this at the end of my show all the time, if you enjoy hearing my voice more and you want to hear me talking about more things. But now, if you enjoyed what you just heard on this episode and you want to hear more of me and John banter back and forth about children's books, you should check out Click It Cast, because this is what we do. We pick apart books that I think that John has a little bit more affection for than the Berenstain Bears and the Love Match. books that are weren't put out quite as quickly as the Berenstain Bears chapter books.
Well, thank you for having me on, and you know, I never say never. Maybe I'll poke into another one of these chapter books in the future.
Maybe you will. And for everyone else out there, I will see all of you next time, deep in Bear Country.